Blog Talk Radio. Hi, and welcome to the Universal Awareness Radio Show. My name's Linda Jocelyn, and I'm your host for today's show. Change of tempo for you people with the music. Hope you liked it. That's Sweat Your Prayers, and it's the it's by Gabrielle Roth and the Mirrors, and it's actually music about dance. I mean, didn't that make you want to move? Make your body want to move? I mean, was your body moving to that? Because it's great music, and it comes from Gabrielle Roth and the Five Rhythms Dance. And I just happened to see it online and download it for myself. And I thought that's a great way to start the show because, you know, dance is about freedom, isn't it? I mean, real dance where you let go and you just move your body is about freedom. And a lot of what we're doing on the internet at the moment, you know, to do with the truth of movement, the spiritual movement, the awareness movement, consciousness, it's all about freedom. It's about regaining our freedom. And I think one of the great ways to do that is through free dance. And just a little bit there for those who don't know what Gabrielle Roth and the Five Rhythms is about, and that's part of her music, and you can feel how freeing that music is because there's no steps to that. You actually just dance and you let yourself go, and there's nobody comes and tells you how to move your body to that music. And it's an absolutely brilliant thing to do. It's quite a while back now since I've actually done it, but you dance for something like three and a half hours, and you don't actually stop unless you're exhausted, and maybe take a small break, and then you just keep moving, and you actually go through what she describes as the five rhythms. And I can't actually remember. I should have looked this up, but I've actually been out all day and had organized nothing for the show. So this is just me spontaneous. And I happen to have that downloaded. So I'm going with that. But with the five rhythms, you're going through things like it seems like a natural thing that happens to all of us in some way. I mean, it happens to us different as individuals, but there's a kind of rhythm to it, and the five rhythms include things like chaos and then calmness and all sorts of different tempos, and you actually use different tempo music, and that's part of the music to really let go. And I think a lot of people have never let go in their lives. And if you've never, you know, really let go, actually joining a group of Gabrielle Roth's Five Rhythms, which is taught by many, many instructors all over the world. And when I say taught, they're just there really to guide the room. I mean, I actually did it with about, oh my God, it got to be about 35 or 40 people in the room when we did it. And it was in a huge room. But you just have a guiding light who's actually putting the different tempo music together and on a recorder for you and to guide to see what people go through, because you actually go through your blocks by dancing. I can see here, is that gremlin in there saying, I remember dancing once, never again. But I mean, it's about, you know, do it in your room on your own, because this isn't about dancing where people watch you. This is about dancing for dance sake, for your sake, for freedom's sake. And there's some great words on there, you know, no more control from your brain. I mean, I've only listened to this particular track a couple of times. And the other part of it is actually saying surrender, because that's what it's really about. And it's kind of a way of clearing yourself, clearing everything about you. And it happens naturally. There's a natural cycle to it. And when I remember, you know, when I did it, once I got into it, because I thought, I'm just going to do this and let go to it. This is an amazing opportunity. I've been invited into this workshop, and I'm going to let it do whatever it wants to do for me. So I kind of closed my eyes, and then I did I couldn't do it in the beginning with my eyes open. I just had to close my eyes with all these people, quite a lot of them I knew quite well. And I thought, that's the way to get the best out of this for me. And I was really amazed at how my body moved and the different cycles I went through during that 3 hours that I danced nonstop. And it was really cleansing. It was really evolutionary. It was transformationary, you know, in every solitary way. So it's quite interesting. I mean, I wasn't actually, I hadn't decided that I was going to talk about that, but having played the music, I think it's really good to explain why it's up-tempo and why it's fast and it's furious and it's asking you to move your body, you know. There's no control in that music in a lot of ways. And if you find it difficult to do kind of therapy and clear your stuff and even look at who you are and what you're really doing and are you authentic or are you playing at being authentic? And, you know, what part of the play is still going on? What mask do you have on? Then, you know, doing dance is a really good, easy way to free your soul up, to make itself known, and incredibly easy to do, really, once you let go of self-consciousness. And in a way, it's like, for me, you know, I would describe that as part of our freedom to move without, you know, move without thinking that anybody's watching you. It doesn't matter what people think. It's the movement. It's the energy, the prana, the chi energy that you feel rising in your body, and you allow that to move you. I mean, I felt I was being danced in a way when I did the five rhythms at the end of it. I mean, there was absolutely no self-consciousness about it, and my body was moving me. It became a completely different entity. And in a lot of ways, isn't that what we're about? Isn't that, are we wanting that? Are we wanting complete freedom to be who we truly are? Because, you know, I was thinking that I was driving home tonight from having been out all day, and that was going through my head, is it's like, okay, the radio show's tonight, and there's so many different little sectors of what people call truth, and there's different little groups who are hanging on the words of one particular person in that group, you know, the leader of the group. And you've got all sorts of ideas about what people are sorting out for the world. And I was thinking, you know, the only reason we're down here is for me. This is how I see it. And I suppose this is why I do the work I do, and what I'm here for is to find our freedom, to find out ourselves, to find out who we are, to live through our highest potential, to be that highest potential, not to hide, not to be quiet, not to not move. You know, it's all about us and who we are and our freedom and living that fully every day. And what would that be like if we had a world like that? If you forget the government, you know, how many people are going to go into panic if we even look at this? Because I think a lot of people are going to go into panic if they were handed their freedom. I mean, their real freedom. Freedom to do any moment of any day that comes in their life, to do what they want to be doing, and to be free to, you know, act out anything they want to present to the world in whatever way that is, creatively, speech-wise, to be who they are. I mean, how many men would walk away from the women they're living with? How many women would walk away from the men that they're living with if they actually thought it was possible to have anything and everything they wanted in a way of being who they truly are? I mean, if a massive healing happened, which gave people, you know, the ability on the planet, if we had a healing, we have to think about this in two sections, really, because there's the healing of the system, which is the political side, and which is the other sides of the equation, like religion, like really getting to the bottom of the hocus pocus of religion and the Vatican, you know, and if the Vatican was torn apart and you had a good look inside and you could look at every record and why they're there, you would see a different truth. The same with politics. If that was all ripped open, then you would see a different truth. So there's that side of creating our freedom and opening the whole world up. And the other part of it is, you know, if you didn't heal the people, they're not ready for that. Most people would hide in their houses. You know, because given their complete freedom to be who they truly are, a lot of people are still too sick. And I don't mean physically, I mean emotionally and mentally, to actually take their freedom. So it's a very interesting question, and it's something that it just occurred to me that, you know, just because I suppose, you know, a lot of this comes from the fact that I work as a therapist as well. And I hear all sorts of stories and I see all sorts of things going on and I hear events that have carried on for years and only heal a little bit you know, every year and get change a little bit. So if you actually gave everybody their freedom and they had that freedom, you know, it's politically, religiously, monetarily, because that's the other side of that main world equation, isn't it? It's financial. If all that, because a lot of people are hanging on every word of people like Benjamin Fulford, the Nasara people, you know, David Wilcott, Drake now. We have this famous Drake who's nobody knows who the heck he is. But you've got all of that going on, and everybody's hanging on that financial freedom in that little circle, right? I'm not one of those, I have to say, because I don't think the financial side of it is the whole equation in any way at all. But you've got all those. Now, if they were given that, you see that with lottery winners, you know. They don't take their freedom in the right way because they're still too sick. They're too, you know, uptight. They're not in their true selves. They're still living out a mirage of who they are. So that doesn't heal it. And I think, you know, we'll go back to this. I'm going to open I've just opened the line up to Miles, and we'll get some updates from him. But just ponder that, because what is your freedom? And then we'll come back to that in a bit. And if people want to ring in on that, because I think it's a really interesting discussion, because I know that there's not a group out there right now that I really totally align with, because I see it that they've got bits of the equation, but they're not willing to put the whole thing together. There's a lot of not being capable of putting the whole equation together. And if they were given the complete freedom, it would freak them out. They'd probably melt away mentally and emotionally. So let's think about that, because the utopia, you know, is an idea out there. But who could live that? You know, and what is it anyway? Hi, Miles. How you doing? Miles? Oh, well, I've opened him up. I bet he's gone off to make a cup of coffee. Or he's muted. So, yeah, if anybody wants to discuss that with me, please come online and discuss it. And what is your idea? What are you working for within this movement of, you know, if you put the effort in to meditate, to do the spiritual work, to relieve yourself of all the emotional dross that you still got hanging on in there, you know, and there's work to be done on that. And we all know that. I've certainly been on that pathway. So what is it you're aiming for? Because I think this is something that's just not being spoken about. And it's something I would like to bring out, because I don't think you can do this with just one little area of the equation. I think it all has to come together, and we have to be able to realize. And is that too terrifying? I mean, somebody said to me last night, I was having this conversation with somebody, and actually laughingly they said, you know, and I said, well, you know, I was talking about telling the truth, and that, I had been, I don't know, talking to somebody or involved with something. And I said, yeah, well, I was just telling the truth as it is, not with an edge on it, not with any judgment, but telling it. And he said, yeah, you're scary like that, Linda. And it was really interesting because I laughed and I knew what he was talking about. And it's kind of like scary for a lot of people to hear it, you know, just clean. You know, and this isn't any bug biting. This is not criticizing people or anything. You know, when you just say something to somebody and it's just clean, and some people can talk on that level, but a lot of people can't. And that's why you've got all the infighting going on amongst all the different truther groups and groups that say they're there for the evolvement of humanity and that everything they do is for humanity. And then there's all this backbiting and fighting and people having emotional breakdowns in the chat room forums and on Facebook pages. And it's kind of crazy because they're just not realizing that there's a lot more to this. This isn't just about clearing the slate politically, clearing the slate religiously. A lot of people don't think that's necessary. I mean, they actually just think that it is to do with politics and financial. I think that's the two main things that most people feel. And then you've got people like Stephen Greer that thinks it's all down to disclosure. And there he is raising, I think he's raised in the last month, he's raised something like $160,000 to get a film out there. I mean, you know, there's people, and Miles, when we get him up back online here, he makes great videos and has great interviews and does things, and he's not asking for $160,000. But Stephen Greer would say disclosure is a main part of it, and he's disclosing that he sees these lights in the sky and he takes groups out there and they're UFOs, you know, and not acknowledging that people have had contact, real contact, with masses and masses of information coming through, you know, in a consciousness way for years. But anyway, I think we've got Miles back. I can hear a hiss on the line.
Oh, my God.
It's got to be Miles if it's hissing.
Yeah. Well, I've got all this equipment on. I'm running about five things.
What have you been doing? Yeah, what have you been up to?
Well, we've been down to Bodden and Manor down in Hereford and did a nice little recording there. And we've had a little bit of a break in that one of the TV channels on the Sky Satellite wants some of our programming. So I'm editing that.
Brilliant. And,
Mark, and I'm doing
the Manor? Is that the one where they're all holed up down there from the British Constitution Group?
Yes and no. There's a bit of that down there, yeah.
Yeah, and who else is holed up down there? Because it's interesting.
Well, they're not really holed up. I mean, the actual owners of the I've got the names. Owners of the place are into that.
Yes, and
they're well into it. I mean, they're properly doing the law thing, a lawful rebellion thing. Legally and correctly. But, of course, if you're going to do that, you're still playing the game of the Illuminati. You know?
I know. But there is that side of it.
One of the things which has happened in this country is that the things like the Bilderberger stops hitting the mainstream newspaper, the Independent.
Amazing. I haven't had the Independent for a while. What did it say?
Well, it simply reported on their meetings, even mentioned Alex Jones and all that, and it was all out
you're
there,
joking.
Mainstream.
No,
I couldn't
joking.
Believe it.
Oh. Oh, we can get that online, can't we? Because
Independent is
free online. I'll go and have a look.
Your friend and mine, Saint Nick Pope, was actually in the Daily Mail online saying, don't be surprised if you see aliens flying saucers at the Olympic Games.
At the Olympics. Now, I did see that bit. Yeah, I think I saw that
crazy.
Online. Yeah.
I mean, even I think that's weird coming from him. It looked like a pretty badly written article, so I don't even know if he said it. Maybe he's just been put up and they've stuck his name on it.
But tell people who Nick Pope is, because a lot of people from other countries, and we get a
Nick
lot
Pope
listening in, don't
the,
know.
And Nick Pope is the former publicly known face of the British Ministry of Defence on UFOs. And he was in the main desk there dealing with all the UFO stuff. And they've now been, of course, releasing an awful lot of the UFO files. And because they've released a whole pile of stuff in the past, it hasn't really hit the headlines, and so like more and more of this stuff's being released. But it was Nick Pope's boss who actually, you know, admitted to me that they're not extraterrestrials, they're extra-dimensionals or intradimensionals.
Right.
And talking about that, right now there's a number of groups who are talking about going into the inner Earth. Apparently,
people
from the inner Earth have come out. They have to switch bodies because the bodies they have about 800 miles down are bigger.
Yeah.
So they body swap and appear at Mount Shasta or Saska. There's stuff down at the Antarctic. There's stuff in the Philippines. There's meant to be a tribe of aboriginal, original human beings in the Philippines, and nobody can get access to them because they're surrounded by these so-called terrorists.
Any good links on that? I have seen the
There's
guy
no
who
link,
says
because it's sort of all off the official horizon. I mean, it's amazing that in the last 3 weeks I've had three or four different people from different places, different sources entirely, talk about going down to meet the underworlders, the people in the inner Earth.
And there's one guy come out who's channels his father, who's still in there, I think. And he, have you seen that video? It's a very strange video, but
I'm a bit weird.
I'm a bit skeptical about all of it until I see one. Do you know what I mean?
Well,
I feel like
exactly.
that about it.
The thing is that the idea is to send a film crew down there and.
Yeah,
but
that's good.
Then, of course, they say, well, when you translate to the fifth dimension, all your equipment won't work and blows up. So, I mean, you know.
And they're saying that the whole of the inner Earth is fifth dimensional.
Yeah, well, I think the point is that we're our hyper multidimensional in the first place. I mean, this is the whole point about the energy zones.
Yes.
The basic symbols of the two tetrahedrons, this fifth dimension thing, were multidimensional.
Absolutely. And I always think of us as multidimensional.
I see the aircraft started taking off again. We have interviewed somebody which, quite frankly, is unbelievably shocking.
Oh. This is with Amash.
Amash. And it's related to the chemtrail thing, which is now on the Conscious Media Network, which they now know what's in the chemtrails. They're basically using nanotechnology to transhumanize us to cyborgs.
But that sounds so... I mean, that sounds unbelievable, Miles. What, do you really believe that? I mean, have you got proof?
You need to watch the video. I'm summarizing a one-hour lecture at, I believe it was the conspiracy conference. This is detailed analysis of the fibers and the what's in the fibers of the chemtrails.
So then we're more controllable if we've got this nanotechnology in
us. This is the point about the interview, is that there's an active program to remove certain blood types from the population, so the remaining blood types will be completely compliant and controllable. But that also means that because you're removing a whole vital section of blood groups within the population, that as human beings, we will negatively devolve. We will simply...
Yes. I can understand that.
They're going for anybody. Anybody who's got the capacity to fundamentally telepath or communicate outside the solar system is being actively, legally, under an ancient law in England, taken out in the most Frankensteinian, barbaric, and butchering way with doctors. It's absolutely appalling.
You know, when you said there's an interview that you're getting this from, so you're kind of pre-seeing it. What was the proof they gave?
The guy, it's
he must have been in the
shocking.
In-world then.
And, I have to edit it, but there's so much stuff I'm editing at the moment to try and get this stuff ready for air tomorrow. That's the next thing on the runway.
But where did he come from? I mean, he must be in the inside of that story.
He actually turned up because of the Amash project. He contacted somebody, basically that's what's going on. I've got another 38 minutes before I can do anything, so I'll be with you for 38 minutes.
Yeah, good. Okay. So he turned up, and is he working on the planes that put the chemtrails out?
He's a former policeman. And so he was able to tell us some interesting information about the police, in that the police are completely alien aware. They're actively pursuing certain gene types within the population. So they're completely up to speed with the level of basically the witch hunts have never gone away. The so-called collective term for witch hunts, in other words, the pursuing within the population that anybody who's aware or switched on or a really
looks
high
outside the system. I can understand.
But the other thing, which is
hang on a minute. Let's stick with him. I mean, you say that police are alien aware. You're talking about him, but I mean, we know the police on the street, the majority of them are not aware of anything. They're just robots.
They are only too aware of different blood types at certain levels. They are only too aware of what to look for.
You're talking about certain levels of the police. You're not talking about the ploddy on the street.
Well, I would say that the average constable plod is given enough information that if in certain circumstances they will go after certain people.
But I just can't believe that, Miles. What, across the country, UK? I just can't believe it.
They are not the dumb, stupid. I mean, they're obviously within the organisation.
I'm not talking about dumb, stupid, but they're just normal people doing a job. I mean, and
are doing a job, but depending on which level of masonry they're in.
You're talking about the top echelons, really, because the top echelons are the ones who are in the Freemasonry, not the normal guys in the police station. I mean, you'd get the inspector.
Well, no, the reason why I mention that is because when I was phoned up, when my colleague was abducted by aliens in Northern Ireland way back in 1996.
Yeah, remember that. Yeah.
You know, 1 o'clock in the morning, I'm called up, and the copper at the other end, or the good old RUC man at the other end. When I said this, well, this may involve abduction by aliens, it didn't faze him at all.
No,
it didn't faze him one bit.
Yeah, well, that's one copper, I know. But I mean, could you honestly say that you think that the if you went out on the street and somebody gets you for a road, you know, road crime, that guy is going to know which people, because of bloodlines and or blood groups and all of that?
He might not know the details, but depending on who you're caught with, that's why, for instance, the person who stole my house keys, when I identified them as alien, because I could see within them the black fluidic djinn energy, I suppose you could call it, this black fluidic living thing which goes much further back into the head. This is the point. When you look in there, you go, whoa, way back to somewhere else.
Yeah.
The djinn have worked out a way of operating using human bodies to deal with their plan.
Yeah. Yeah.
Somebody's just written on the forum about DNA. The whole point about the thing about the this is, but there are actually now several levels of different DNA they've manufactured.
Right, because Gremlin's saying, is this the reason why criminals are having their DNA taken?
They are pursuing, actively pursuing certain blood types.
Yeah.
And because there are so many non-humans now in the population, that's one of the things. But they are changing the population. The chemtrail thing is a massive program to change the whole species on the planet.
Say that again.
There's several levels of DNA. It's not even DNA. I need to get back onto the film because I was so distracted doing so many things this afternoon. But that on today's Conscious Media Network, it's very important. Very technical.
Right.
There are certain mutated types of blood cells and nanotechnologies within the fibers, these hollow fibers in the chemtrails. And one of the things which people have discovered is if you use what people call a black light or an ultraviolet light, you will see in the air the swarming millions of these particles.
Yeah.
And
I'm sure there's something going on there. It's one thing telling people that that's all about and that some people have got all this gene energy in them. I mean, what would you say to do about this? Because that's not what we're down here for. That's not what our mission is, is it?
There are others with a mission to make sure that humanity does not evolve and that we are maintained in a shutdown police prison planet mode. And we've got to wake up and smell wherever it is.
Smell the roses.
Smell the roses.
No. And I agree with you. I mean, that's interesting because you're giving the other side of the equation as to what people are working against. Because I was talking about the split in all the groups. I'm always talking about that in different ways and different forms, because there still is, isn't there, in the way people are pursuing their freedom. I mean, Miles, you're somebody who's been involved in the UFO movement, the crop circles. Mainly the UFOs, haven't you? But for years, you're not a newcomer to this. You've been involved with actually trying to look into the whole UFO equation for decades. So what is your freedom in doing that? Why did you go on that bent? What was that about for you?
I'm here. I feel that I'm here to wake up as many people as possible so they can then make decisions in their own lives to get to either move one way or the other. I don't believe that we should all be corralled into a... active people taken out. I mean, it's in my homeland, where my father's house, which we saw these jellyfish type creatures and things. It's interesting that these massive creatures and the orbs and the massive things the size of soccer balls, which live in trees and move around the place, just quite happily all across these fields. The new tenant there, he's seen all this stuff.
Really? And it was your father's stuff, and he saw it.
The keeper that's maintaining the buildings, because the whole place has had a preservation order put on it by the Northern Ireland government.
And your father knew about all this?
My father knew about it and didn't tell me very much about it, but I was aware of all this going on. And these are indigenous life forms of some kind, and you know, they're seeing them. This guy's seeing them with naked eye.
Have you heard of a guy? I saw a fascinating, well, I didn't see it. I heard a fascinating audio yesterday, right, from Ireland. This is two guys in Ireland who spent 10 years researching the fact that the pharaohs, there was this whole, you know, whole different history of Ireland. Have you heard about this?
Well, this is what we're desperately trying to get. Andrew Power's book, Ireland,
That's it,
Land
Andrew
of the Pharaohs.
Power. Yeah, Andrew
we're trying
Power.
To get that republished, because what's going on is that the Israeli secret intelligence are in Ireland, or have been in Ireland, trying to find ancient artifacts to take them out of Ireland, because they do not want the Irish to wake up. The Irish, the secrets of civilization lie in Ireland. And that was the reason why St. Patrick, I mean, I didn't realize St. Patrick encouraged the Irish people to turn to the Church of Rome by burning the children of the village.
Oh, God, I know, I haven't
That's
heard
what
that
St. Patrick was doing, and he even he got sickened of it and went back to Rome, and they says, you get back there and you keep burning children until they submit. That's what St. Patrick did in Ireland.
And it's very
burned the children of the village.
The Irish, the whole Irish question is still ongoing, because it's not total peace there yet with the Protestants and the Catholics.
No, it's not going to be peace, because they've been raped by the New World Order. They've now begun to realise who the real enemy's always been.
Yeah, and I think that's the whole thing. I mean, I listened to an audio. I can't remember what it's called, but it's something like Pharaohs in Ireland. No, it wasn't. No, this was somebody else. And it's an old interview. And I've actually put it on the network at www.universallyaware.ning.com, and if you go on the articles and discussions, you'll see that it's one of the most recent ones there, at least on the first page, and it's Andrew Powers talking with somebody else.
Well, I've been trying to get an interview with him, but the thing is, he's so unwell that
I think this was an old interview, but Miles, the stuff they talked about on there was incredible, and I ran that audio 2.5 times yesterday, and it took a long time, but I really wanted to try and get some sort of understanding of where they were going with it. You know, I was doing other stuff at the same time, but I had it playing.
The thing about Ireland is it's not Ireland, it's Ireland. It's the Aryan high spiritual people of various races and creeds.
And they went into great depth about Newgrange.
Yeah.
And have you been there?
And Newgrange is older than Stonehenge.
Yeah, and older than the pyramids, he's saying.
Yeah, well, older than what we currently date the pyramids as, which is, of course, completely wrong.
Yeah, I wondered if that was it. Because they've now, I mean, the new archaeologists, the kind of awake and aware archaeologists that have taken them back thousands of years, I think, more than what the normal Egyptians are saying.
Well, the Egyptian archaeologists won't even deal with the pyramids. They don't rate them as archaeological things. It's amazing.
No, I mean, there's been a lot of lies in all of that. But these guys are good. Go and listen to that. Anybody who's listening here, it's fascinating. And I mean, it's, you know, with all the information I've listened to on the thousands of audios and videos, it takes a lot for me to play something 2.5 times.
Yeah.
But it's like, I was thinking I've got to go back to it again, because they were bringing up points, other points that were kind of nothing to do with that issue, but were incredible stuff, like about they've gone right back to who they think the first beings on the planet were, and they were giants, according to them, in Ireland. They were giant, you know, multi-dimensional beings, if you like, and they had a different way that their brain worked.
Well, that's what I interviewed in did I mention about Prague?
No.
And about Ava Zemanova being one of the ancients.
Right. Who's it?
In Prague, I got about a 3-day interview. I've got so much to interview to edit. She essentially came to remember directly the landing of a huge craft, which was one of several. She didn't say that this was the only one, which came to Earth prior to any animal life being present here.
Right.
And this craft was a semi-sphere. It was 4,000 meters in circumference. It had 10,000 beings on it. And the craft didn't understand. They had encountered an anomaly in this section of space, which is unique, some kind of dual gravitational loop. And this affects the density of matter and space-time here.
Right. And when did she think that She had a memory of this. So
yeah,
when is she saying?
She claims
right,
she
When was it? Because
a long,
we need to place
long
it somewhere.
Ago.
All right.
Yeah, but the point is,
thousands of years.
You can't think of linear time. You've got to get out of the linear time thing. There's
three different types of time.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
A long time ago.
She's not placing it right. She's not placing it in this life. She's not placing it in this civilization either, is she?
Yeah, but we are the descendants of those beings which had to translate from a higher dimensional realm of existence pretty well. Once the force field of the craft went down, this is all the stuff you can't hear on the Kerry Cassidy interview with her.
Right.
Okay? She can't understand a word she's saying. So I've re-interviewed her, and I've got to get that out. It's three days.
Oh, that would be a good one. Because, you know, when you go back to these Irish guys, they're saying that that what happened was, in all the research they've done, they're saying that 10,000 years after these, no, 5,000 years ago, is when these higher beings who were in Ireland actually went through a catastrophic kind of earth change event, right? And then their whole consciousness changed. Well, what they're saying is before the event, this is quite intriguing because they're putting it in words that we wouldn't be able to compute nowadays because we think of as high consciousness as a good thing. What they're actually saying and bringing in, which I found absolutely fascinating, is that these higher beings until that point didn't have consciousness. But what they had was genius right brain. An incredible left brain.
The consciousness has changed. The actual way we look at things and think has changed quite a lot. It's in the same way that Aboriginals will look and perceive things totally differently than we do.
Yeah, I know. And a lot of people think they're limited in that way. And in fact, they're not.
No. Yeah, well, actually, this is what gets me about the cyborgization of humanity. These dumb three-dimensional idiot scientists are wanting to improve humanity by plugging us into technology, which is a gross and low form of technology.
Well,
and they want to put nanotechnology into us. But, I mean, they're talking about introducing a third strand of the DNA and all that. Oh, dear,
yeah.
I've got a John Irwin calling again.
All right. But I think the only way we're going
to... unless there's some information to say.
Really? Well, maybe come back online after you've taken the call, Miles, and tell us if there's something new. Because is he tied in with the Drake people and all of that?
No, I don't think so.
I don't know, because there's some crazy stuff going on there. People following and doing a poll about what we want to do with the elite. I mean, I've never seen anything so crazy in my life.
Did you see the stuff in Germany where the police took their helmets off and marched with the protesters?
A wonderful.
I haven't seen that, but
it's on the network. So check the network. It's
good,
on there.
Good.
It's one of the videos up there. It was a week or so ago, maybe 2 weeks, but it's brilliant, absolutely brilliant to see that it was just happened. You know, there's things going on like that, but there's a real mix out there, and this is what I was going to see. You know, if people are trying to align with who they are and what they want, rather than align with any of the groups out there, because. You know, we have to raise to the highest we can because there's some real smutty stuff going on. There's some real 3D stuff going on in the name of truth movement. There's a lot of crap going on out there. And then there's a lot of people who are spiritually, like, with their heads under the sand. You know, they spiritually think they're on a high. And they're actually not looking at anything and the whole picture. So... you know, trying to make any sense out of this, but I think the only sense you can make is where you sit yourself. And that's an interesting equation for each and every one of us to take on board and have a think about. And that's what I was trying to project onto this show, really, because it's an interesting thing. But you don't think John Irwin is... because he's been quite involved with Kerry Cassidy at different times, hasn't he?
John... was ripped off on his book, and Kerry was good enough to get the book properly republished.
Oh, brilliant!
And he's done a number of things on the radio side.
Yeah,
but he is not saying that the police, that the officer, and I might have maybe overemphasized this, the officer that trained him in 1957 to join the elite was just very different.
Ah, he's not saying he knew he wasn't right. He didn't know that he didn't identify him as alien.
You know,
right? Okay.
You know, well, the thing is, we've
got
this
been,
mindset of extraterrestrial, but we've got to get out of that mindset. Just extra-dimensional or whatever.
Yeah, we're all multidimensional, even though we're in a 3D body this time round. And people are going to, you know, they say that the main template across the universe, I've had this said so many times, is the human form. So there's going to be
human form, but not necessarily made of the same matter that we're made of now. This is important.
Oh, yeah. There's lighter. There's definitely more etheric lighter matter, definitely. And as you, my understanding of that and the information I've been given from mentoring from higher beings is that as we go into fourth and fifth dimension, we lighten up. You know, our whole energy field and our whole matter physically will take on a slightly different form. It will lighten.
Okay, well, I've got to go and do my edits. I'm really up against it. I'll listen offline.
Yeah, okie doke then, Miles. Thanks for the update. Bye.
Yes.
And there you go. That's interesting, folks, isn't it? Because we've got Miles, who's been very involved with the UFO movement and with all the deep underground military bases where there's been mind control and all sorts of stuff going on and all sorts of horrors. You know, what we started off talking about was like, what is freedom to us? And it's very interesting because, I mean, Miles's mission has taken him into those places. And you know, a lot of us, I think none of us can align with anybody else totally. And I think that's something to really take on board is that, you know, I look at people like Miles and I think, well, I'm glad that wasn't my mission, but he's doing a bloody good job. And I see the same with people like David Icke. I mean, I would never have wanted David Icke's mission of going out their real main line and telling people the stuff that he uncovered. And it's like your own mission feels so right for you. And I think what we need to do a lot more of is respect everybody who's out there on their mission, but not take that mission on as our own. And I think what we've got out there, this may help us to place this in some sort of, you know, focus, into more focus here, and to bring it into more focus, is that if you haven't activated your own mission, what I see is a lot of people following other people. And this is the bit that seems to be for me to get involved with, in the way that I'm sometimes involved with people and I can help them bring out themselves instead of following others. So this is a whole part of my own mission and has been for years, because I've worked a lot one-to-one and in groups with people and trying to get them to, assist them, activate themselves so they don't go following anybody else. And it's not, you know, with people that are mainline like David Icke. David Icke's got a lot of followers. He's not the only one. There's loads of them out there. But he's doing a great job. But if people are just following him, then they're not activating their own mission. And this is where I think everybody has to take responsibility for that. So asking yourself, you know, what are you here for? What's freedom to you? What's your position in this? Is so, so important. You know, it's important for all of us, because something that I was shown and given in the manuscripts that I've channeled over the years is that they kind of used an analogy of links in a chain. And right from the early days, like 20 years ago, they were telling me that we can't have links in the chain missing. So everybody who's incarnated here, everybody is here. The 7 billion people are here because they chose to be here at this time, and we all have a part to play. So if we get a broken linkage and we get, you know, people who are not activated with their own mission, then it makes it harder for those who are on their mission and then are missing the people who need to be in place around them, or need to be in place to pass the information on to, or to be a part of whatever's going on. So, you know, to have everybody personally activated is much more powerful than to have, say, what would we say, 1,000 people activated and each one of them have got 10,000 followers. You know, that's just not how it was meant to be. And the only reason you've got that and you've got people following other people is because you know, and when I say follow, I mean that they're not learning from somebody and then activating themselves. What they're doing is they're really just putting all their energy into, it's almost like a guru pupil syndrome, you know, and you've got that going on in the Truther movement a lot. And it gives us dead links. It gives us links that are not joined up. And we really do need every person to be totally responsible for where they're at. And where are we going, you know? What is your aim with this? What do you feel? Do you just want, you know, for things to be peaceful so you can get on with your job, so you can get on with your family, and so that you can have your nice little home? And what is that about, sit in front of a television? Because there's still a lot of people who, even though they do a bit of stuff on the Truther movement, you know, and they go out to a few protests and that, they're still keyed into the robotic life, and I think there's something that's so much bigger than that. And I know a lot of people who are backing up this Drake movement, you know, this Drake movement. It keeps telling you that all the cabal is going to be arrested and everybody's going to get different paid money, and he even had a poll recently. You know, at the end of this, okay, let's say he's right and all the cabal arrested. What do you think is going to happen in the world? Because you still got the same people who haven't worked on themselves, haven't got a clue what it's like to live in a loving way with their neighbours and the people around them, whoever they are and whatever they do. You've got people who think one religion is wrong and their religion is right. You've got the right wingers, and especially in America, you've got all the real people on that side of the politics who are never going to want to get on with the other people, even if the finances were sorted out, even if the cabal was arrested. So it's got, you know, that part of arresting the cabal is such a tiny part of the equation. And if I can get anything over and help to, you know, explain that to people, then I'll have done a good job. And I don't know how I'm going to do that, but hopefully it'll come to me, because the rest of the equation is that we are these multidimensional beings. We are these incredible, creative units of inspiration and joy and love and high energy. You know, now what you got at the moment is you've got people in, what would you call it, servitude to a system. So they can hardly ever live that out. And some people might live it out on a Sunday afternoon where they get to do something they really want to do. That's the majority of the people on this planet. You don't have a majority of people living any joy whatsoever. You have some people who get a certain level of happiness. But most of that will involve a certain amount of money and stuff like that, and entertainment that comes from without, you know, outside of them. So what we're talking about is to, you know, bring out and be who we are in our highest potential. And that has nothing to do, you know, really. I mean, in a way it has a little to do with the cabal, because they hold the restrictions on. But what about if you know this and you know that there's more to you? Are you doing the work to bring out who you are? Or are you waiting for the cabal to be arrested? Because to me, there is absolutely no point in waiting for the cabal to be arrested. You know what? There's so much to get on with. There's so much to change in your own lives. You know, there's so much to deal with in becoming the person that you really want to be. And then, when you know, that is part of the vibration. If you think of the 7 billion conduits of energy on this planet, okay, and you think that you're nothing and you've got to wait for the more powerful cabal to be arrested and get the negativity out of the way, well, every cabal member, and they reckon there's only 10,000 of them, hold one conduit of energy. And that is the absolute truth, right? So if there's 10,000 cabal and they hold one conduit of energy, how many of us are there? There's 6 billion whatever, isn't there? A hell of a lot, nearly 7 billion. They're a tiny, infinitesimal, small amount of the conduits of energy. Now, the only reason they win through is they have completely streamlined the way they think to bring about the self-interest. That's why it works so powerfully for them. They are totally disciplined from birth. And that cuts away anything else. Okay, that cuts away the connection to the heart when you're mind-controlled and tortured from birth. Okay, and then that sets the agenda. right? So that's what we're up against, which you may think is so, so powerful, but it's not. When you bring in the major part of the focus that we can look at here, is that there's 7 billion of us. So if every one of us, you know, it would be ended in days if you had even 3 billion, if you had half the population focused on the good, the love, the inspiration, who we really are, and letting everybody be free and equal, coming from the heart. It wouldn't even take 1 billion people to do it. The trouble is, what you've got is you've got 10,000 cabal totally focused, you know, and educated that way from birth into that line of thinking, right? And then you've got the rest. And so I would say maybe, I don't know what the numbers are here, but maybe you've got 10,000 really disciplined meditators and spiritual people. So we might be keeping the kind of status quo a bit right now. And that's not very big, is it? So what the heck are the other 6 7/8 of the population doing? The 6 billion and 7/8 of a billion. It's about that, if you take the 2 10,000s off. So what are they doing? Well, we know what they're doing. They're in the system, they're plugged into the matrix, and they operate on robotic lower chakra energy. That's the truth of it. You know, the interesting thing when Drake came forward the other day and put, this is the total illusion of what that is. He came forward and put a poll up. And everybody was in their little igloo of thinking, where they don't come out of that igloo. They're on the internet. They think that the fact is that they are in this huge group of people, and they're not. They're in a tiny group of people who even know of Drake's existence. They're in a tiny group of people. I want to put the reality out there, okay? And this is going to be hard for somebody to, you know, for a lot of people to take on board. They're not going to want to hear this. I think it's 1% of the population are actually on the internet. You know, bring yourself into reality. Let's have a real reality check here. Because the way that that is going is so out of reality, it's ridiculous. I mean, they got 5,000 people voted, and they thought they were voting because the cabal were listening. They were actually going to get the results of this poll, and then they were going to decide how they were going to surrender. That's how much illusion there is out there. Let's get this real. If we've got 10,000 spiritually disciplined people who are focused on the good and can hold a bit of coherence, and we're operating against 10,000 cabal trained from birth to bring about the negative reality on this planet, and then we've got 6 billion people and 7/8 of a billion people who operate in total non-responsibility and non-action in their lives, apart from earning their money, feeding their bellies, having sex, and watching the television and having a bit of entertainment on the side. That could be the reality we're dealing with here. I'm hoping that my numbers are wrong, but I've got a feeling they're right. And we also know here that if we had 8,000 people going on the physics, you know, equation of the square root of 1% of the total population, that we could get tip over point. That's all we need. We haven't got it. Don't get kidded by these people. Don't get taken in by the importance of all that stuff, because it isn't important at all. And it's going to make no difference whatsoever. And it's all distraction from you working on yourself and raising your energy so that we start to get not 6 7/8 of a billion people actually following other people thinking they're right. We need another billion activated in some way in their lives, doing the work, sitting in a room quiet with themselves would do it. Come off the internet for a month and every day do 20 minutes in the morning and 20 minutes at night meditation, because this is something you've got to play catch up with. The people who've done that for a lot of years are powering the rest of this stuff, right, on the coherent side. And there's help needed now, because we got to turn this around. And we turn it around with everybody's energy taking the responsibility and actually keying into the higher energies. And that's how it's going to work. That's how it really works. It's working every day now. Every unconscious thought you have is working the power field. Did you know that? You're walking around, you're thinking life's a bit of a drag, you know, you haven't got enough money in your pocket. You'll go to work, though, you'll do what you got to do. You'll have a quick pizza, then get a bit of enjoyment out of that, and you think life's a bit of a drudge, or you think it's kind of half-baked and half worth living. That consciousness is powering the field. It's unconsciousness, but it powers the field. Are you part of the problem, or are you part of the solution? Because it's not time to talk anymore about fairyland. It's not time to talk about all these presumptions that people make, that all this cabal is going to get arrested and then everything's going to be all right. I'd love somebody to explain to me how they think that could work. If anybody wants to phone in, we can have a great conversation about it. Because it's got nothing to do with that. It's got to do with you. And I'm going, connecting totally now with the information I've had for 20 years. Every individual counts, and it's about every one of you. And the ones that will move forward with this planet as she meets with the universal energy continuum on a higher energy field, you know, that will be within that part of the galactic space that we move into, where that wave of energy is there, then if you haven't activated the higher wave of energy in yourself, you cannot connect with that. And that's the truth of the matter. So every time somebody comes forward and plays a part, and I'm not saying they're all COINTELPRO, because I think there's very few of them out there. They don't even need to do that. The cabal doesn't need to put COINTELPRO out there. You've got enough people who are coming forward and playing out games and funny things, like just like when they play out in their lives. You know, I think of the people that I've met in my life who play games, tell lies, play out fantasy bits and appear as if they're something they're not. Well, this is happening within the truth movement. You've got all sorts of characters out there. And some of them are in contact with somebody else who's got a contact at the Pentagon or something. But none of them know the whole story, and none of them in that sort of area. Do I know this for true? I can't say that I know for true. None of them are working on themselves, but I can pretty well tell you that if you listen to the conversations that are had with the so-called insiders, you get some of them that you know are just resonating on a higher level. They woke up, they're now telling the truth, and they've got all these spiritual practices that they do, and you can hear that they're really discriminating over what they talk about and what they don't talk about. And then you've got those people who are coming forward as so-called whistleblowers and so-called part of the elite, who's going to blow the elite apart, the cabal apart, and all of that. And you know that they're not real. Don't you know they're not real? I mean, I am amazed. I got really frustrated on a Facebook page the other day. Because it's like people following the ideas of somebody else, and you think their resonance is just not there. But why do I say that? Because I can discern that. And I think everybody needs to do that. You know, it's got to be discernment and not following. And it has to be activate yourself first. And if you haven't activated yourself so that you know when somebody's telling you the whole truth, and you know that it's part of the plan for you, and you know it's something you need to hear, if you don't know that yet, then just come off the internet for a month. I would advise anybody who is still, you know, to and froing from different parts of the equation, thinking, oh, I don't know about this and I don't know about that. It's all relevant, but it's only relevant for you to see what the part is for you. That's how it is. And some of it's relevant for you to see so that you see it's, you know, more of a bit of a scam for somebody. And it's not even sometimes a scam. It's just that it's part of their personality. Now, remember, the personality isn't the soul. It isn't the higher self speaking. So sometimes people are playing out huge parts of their personality together with other little bits of awareness. So, you know, that personality will play it out in a certain way. And then people are following them. So how many people can honestly say that they're activated themselves? What does that mean? You know, it's not just a bit of pseudo-speak. It's about, can you feel your vibration within inside you? Do you have a connection with who you really are? Can you say, well, you know, I know I'm not just this body. I know I'm so much more than that, because I think we're dealing with a lot of people who haven't even got to that point where they understand that we've done so many other things. We've come from so many other places in the universe. You know, that we've had so many other lives, not all of those lives on this planet. We came here to group together. 7 billion of us chose to meet up on this planet this time. And I get real shivers down my spine when the energy really connects with that, because I know that to be true. And it's like, why did we choose to meet here? What is it that we all know about what is happening on this planet? We know it inside of ourselves. We don't know it logically, because we're also living through this 3D body right now. You know, and if we take the limitations, only the limitations of this 3D body, then we don't know a lot, do we? We just think we're on this planet. I mean, some people, I think the worst place you could be in right now would be to be a person who actually thinks there is nothing beyond this life and this life is all it is, because that is such a minuscule dot of information about who we are. Because this one 3D life is so small compared to everything that we've lived before and who we are and what that unit of oneness that we make up, that we all are part of. 7 billion flames of oneness. How aware are you of that? And what does that have to do with 10,000 cabal who've spent their lives playing the negative to allow this game to be played out, allow this last lesson for this period of time to be played out? That's why they're there. They're playing out their parts. They play them very, very well. They're very disciplined about the parts they play out. How disciplined are you at outmatching them? Because that is what I feel it is about. You know, we have to go beyond, way beyond where they're at. Because we're pulling on the light. We're pulling on the higher energies. We're pulling on the miracles that happen around the higher energy. Incredible miracles happen. Things that you can't tell your friends sometimes. I mean, I you know, there's a few personal friends I have that I can exchange all the synchronicities that happen to me, all the bits of magic that happen to me, and they exchange theirs with me. But, you know, we can't talk about this in a room full of kind of normal people down the local pub, because they'd actually think we're mad. But we know we're living in a reality. And we live in a different reality because we are allowing those energies and we're connecting with those energies. So if you can expand out here, how are you going to expand out? How are you going to connect with your blueprint if you're not already connected with it? You know, what is it? How do you get beyond the norm? And I mean, for me, I would always say to people that 20 minutes spent inside yourself, just connect with your breath, put your attention, your consciousness on your breath, and stay with it for 20 minutes. It's pretty impossible to do, I'll tell you that now, because a lot of people think, oh, I can't do that. Well, no, you won't be able to do it very well in the beginning, because your manic, manos, lying mind is going to come in and distract you all over the place, and you're not that mind. And that may still be, for some people who listen to the show, and I know we get hundreds of people listen to this in the archives, as well as the people live on air. And it's like, how many of you, you know, can have a still mind and be connected to the higher part of you? Because we're waiting. We need we've got 7 billion conduits of energy on this planet. How many have we got connected to their higher self? And we know, this is putting it in real simple language, if you're connected to your higher self, that higher self is in the pool of the oneness and in the genius pool of information. So once you connect with your higher self, then you're connected to all the other people connected to their higher self. And that's when all the synchronicities come about. And you can have synchronicities. This is the fascinating thing. You get synchronicities happen with people who are unconscious around you too, because what happens is the energy just takes over and it will actually use the people, even when they're unconscious, if that's somebody that you need to meet and they've got a bit of information for you, and they'll actually get that person to speak the information, even if they're not conscious of it. That's how the magic works. It's like a kind of liquid energy that is there and you can pull on to wield the power for you. But just imagine if we had, like I said, 1 billion people connected into that. I mean, there wouldn't be anything that we had to sort out, to be quite honest, because 1 billion is way over the amount we need. We need 8,000 people, they say, in coherence. And this is a Greg Braden coming from the kind of high quantum physics kind of way of thinking. If you get 8,000, it's like when you get so many people meditating in an area, and this was proved by Maharishi years ago. Amazing facts on this, that it just calms down, you know, everything. If you've got a war going on, there's something that will go on which stops that war. And there's also things that happen, you know, where the violence rate in a town goes down. If you get, say, 100 people in a town meditating together for a certain length of time, what actually happens is the violence goes down. And that's not explainable in any other way except that this wonderful, balanced, coherent energy went out in that area. So we know it works. So what we're looking for is on a world level. We are all responsible for that. We came here to be responsible. So, you know, lots of people have opted out. Lots of people are waiting for somebody else to do it. And you know, that was why when I started the network some 2 years ago now, we're actually on our two-year anniversary, I think, this week. And you know, it was just one day in my life. I sat at the computer for 7 hours because I knew I had to do something. And I had this amazing experience with some channeling I'd been doing and a little adventure I was taken on by the higher beings. And the next day I just set the network up and I set the radio show up. And at the top of the network, I put, "We are the ones we're waiting for." And that's just such a good statement to have somewhere. So that every time you think you're waiting for Drake to arrest the cabal, that you know you are part of the we. We are the ones we're waiting for. We're not waiting. Or we shouldn't be. I'm certainly not waiting for anybody to arrest anybody. I'm not waiting for anything. I'm alive and alert to the fact that there's a lot more I can be doing myself with my own energy resonance. And that's what I'm working on. A quick tip here, and I think I gave this last week, but it works so powerfully. I've been giving it to a lot of people this week, is to actually say to yourself, "I am operating from my highest potential self." It's such a simple statement, and it's very confronting for you if you have trouble with this, in that you really do think you're just a normal bloke, normal woman, and you really aren't part of the essence of the changes that are going on, because that's just ignoring the true facts. So if you actually write that, get a nice piece, a long piece of board, a long piece of wood, and just write with thick black ink, thick black paint, and make it large, because you know how asleep a lot of people are, and you may be asleep yourself a lot of the time. Just put on it, "I am operating from my highest potential self." And have it somewhere in the house that you see it when you're walking around, because it will keep waking you up. It will keep confronting you. And I think a lot of people still need something like that. They need the things around them. The one I've got on my wall at the moment is about, I think it's about 2.5 feet long. It's actually black and it's gold writing and it's quite big. And it says, "Expect a miracle." And, you know, that's how I feel about life, is I want reminding that when I expect miracles, and whatever I expect to happen, happens. Whatever I'm thinking about, whatever I'm in action doing, whatever I'm saying is going out into the universe and it's producing physicality. It's producing actions in the name of my energy that's gone out there. Now, I'm not special. I'm just normal. I'm just one of the conduits of energy. We're all exactly the same. We're 7 billion conduits of energy. All have the same potential. Some are more alight. If you looked across the world, the planet, you would see some light shining. You would see some with a dim little glow. And then you'd see a lot of blank spaces. Because some people haven't even started. They talk a lot, but they've not actually started lighting the light. And it's not about burning a candle. There's a lot of lamplighters movements where you light a candle and they all join together at certain times of the year and they have certain dates when all the candles are lit. That's all nice stuff, but it's sundry. We want your candle lit. We want you lit up. We want to be able to look at a globe. I mean, if we could look now, if we close our eyes together, you know, how many lights do we see lit up across the world? And that means that you're alive, you're awake, you're aware, and you're on your mission. And your energy is clear. And you know who you are. And you know what you need to be doing. And you're in the now moment. Do you know, in a lot of ways, as soon as people kind of turn and take that responsibility, it's a lot easier than pretending that you don't know who you are. Because a lot of the energy that's taken up when people have fronts on and faces on and they're not authentic, it takes so much energy. It makes people so ill. You know, a lot of the heart energy diseases, you know, they come from the blocked energy in that center. A lot of the energy within, you know, the brain and the mind of people who just live, you know, on automatic. A lot of the damage in people's brains and in people's minds and mental health comes from never being who they really are. Never being able to tell the truth. Never being real. Hiding. There's so much energy put into that. So, you know, really when people think, oh my God, I can't start a disciplined path, they're actually on a pretty disciplined path of being who they're not. And you know, it's interesting, we started with the, and I mean the whole reason I'm on this bent of conversation really is having thought, oh, do you know what, I'll play that music tonight from the Five Rhythms. It's like, you know, dance, you know, put some incredible music that you really relate to on that's got a lovely beat and real movement in it. And then just close the door, be on your own, and start to allow your body to move. That's one good way of starting this off. You know, let your body move. Who are you really if you were to dance on a floor? Most people are really self-conscious about dancing, so they don't ever dance from who they really are. And actually, they don't really get the chance because they have to hold it together, they think, to just go and do some formal little jig around. What about if you let, what does your body want to do? Does your top half of your body want to bend and sway? And does your arms want to be in the air? How do your legs want to move? You know, do you even know this body that you're in? Do you know how to release it up, how to move it? And this may be very confronting for people, I don't know. You know, I know the freedom in doing it. So I love the idea that even if people were going to do one thing, start to let your body move. It certainly opens the heart when you do. And it also starts to work on, it's kind of like a lubricating energy that flows through your body and it's freeing up your mind. And it certainly frees up your emotions. And it will start to make you see that there is a high potential inside of you. There is some spirit of life that needs to come out and be who it really is. Because the one thing that holds the cabal operation together is their knowledge that they have a system that people are plugged into and that they're staying there right now. And even though they're talking about having another life, they're still plugged into the system. Emotionally, mentally, spiritually, through the made-up religions, and physically, through never understanding the freedom of the body and the energy. And you can work. This is something which I learned a lot of years ago because I kind of started with one way. I started with the physical. I started with good food and running a whole food shop and learning all about that and how that changed you. And then I thought, do you know what? That's not all of it. And I suppose I was about 25, 30 when I went into that, when I was having my children, because I wanted to have healthy children. So I went into the healthy body bit. And then I realized that, you know, there was the whole mental and emotional side of it. And they kind of went together for me in a lot of ways, because I could see that the mental and emotional came from all the problems that we might have had that we hadn't cleared up and that we were hanging on to. And then it kind of came in together with the when I learnt meditation, and I realized that that was kind of the spiritual part of us. And if you started to meditate, then you would be more aware and you would be able to face the problems that you had, because you'd be more authentic. So you could then start looking at the emotional problems that you had and where you were, you know, emotionally reacting, which is reenacting the past. And then you could look at mentally, were you all over the place, or could you hold a real focus? Could you feel calm? You know, did you have a ranting lower mind that was going on to you, that the voice in your head? So those three, you know, popped up one at a time, really, like emotional first and then mental, and the spiritual kind of brought it all together. And what I realized was there's four parts of us that all need looking at. You can't do it with just taking one of them. We are the coherence of those four parts of ourselves: physical, mental, emotional, and spiritual. And that without working on all four, it's very hard to feel the coherence and to have the courage. Courage comes with that as well. Because you gain through getting the balance, what you're gaining all the time, and it gets better all the time. You're gaining the courage to carry on that path and to believe in yourself and to believe that you know which things to do next. So, you know, if you're just doing one side of it, try and bring some of the disciplines from some of the other sides in. Because this is where, you know, the information I have from the mentoring I've had from higher beings for 20 years is that this is our mission, to bring all those things together so that we can live out as this planet raises and through her own ascension of energies. And we have no fixed picture, because I don't think we can even visualize what is about to happen. We know that the earth is rumbling, shaking. We know that there's incredible things going on, incredible noises all around the planet. There's all sorts of things going on, that it's cracking in different areas. There's great sinkholes appearing. There's all sorts of things going on. We have to trust that this process is a natural process, and that where she's going is best for her and what's going to happen to her. And that as long, the information I have is that as long as we raise our energies up on every level and we get coherence of the physical, mental, emotional, and spiritual within ourselves, then we will raise our energy with her enough to be able to go to that next stage, where we will be able to meet with the fifth dimension as she reaches the universal energy continuum. The manuscripts I have are very detailed in that information. And recently what I've done, I mean, for 2 years now, I've been giving the second manuscript out free. The first book, with all the first changes that were going on the planet, is still available on Amazon.com. I don't have copies of it. The publisher retired years ago and went to his safe place. So you can only buy those online. I don't even know where they get them from, because I don't get royalties off that book, and it was published with a proper publisher. But anyway, it's irrelevant to me now. It's just good that the book's still available. At some point, I'll go back to the manuscript that Miles did scan me a copy, but I haven't been able to use it because it was lengthways and not the other way up. But anyway, I'm sure we'll sort that. But at the moment, that first book's still available. It's called Advent Calendar for the Salvation of the Planet Earth. That was the name the higher beings gave me to call it. And it's out there on Amazon with my name, Linda Jocelyn, as the channeler of that. Don't buy new copies. The new copies have gone up astronomically. They're now charging £39 and £49 a copy for that book, because there's not many copies of it left, I suppose, by now. It was published in 1995. But the second book, you can still get a copy of it free from me if you contact me at www.advent, No, actually, I'll give you my email address. It's thetruthwillsetyoufreenow@yahoo.co.uk. And just put Event Horizon 1 and all in the subject line, and I'll send you a free copy. If you actually, so many people, I've been giving it away free, as I said, for 2 years, because it's an incredible manuscript with exactly what's going on and all the information you need to know about what you need to do to activate yourselves, why we have to do this, how to remember that you knew all this when you came down here and then you just got too involved with the game. And now, as I said, the huge sabotage in this whole thing right now is people are involved with thinking that it's all down to the cabal being arrested. I just can't even believe that one. But anyway, a lot of people do believe that. The information in there, free if you want that, so just contact me on the email address, and that comes as an e-book. But a lot of people over the 2 years have been asking me for a paperback a version of it, and I've now got it on paperback. It's on createspace.com, and the... I'm trying to think of the numbers actually on that. I'm not even sure I've got it written down anywhere. I might be able to find it. It's if you go onto our network at www.universallyaware.ning.com, you'll see it down the right hand side. There's actually a link to the book. It's not an expensive book. It's seven. I've put it with good magical numerology numbers. It's £7.77 in English money. It's $12.12 in American, and you can buy it across Europe, America, and the UK. At the moment, if you go on to the advert that I've put on the front page of our network, the address I've just given, you can click and see it on CreateSpace, because that's the first place it's available right now, and people are ordering it from there to get a copy of it, because it's something you can then have by you. And if you just, I mean, I never wrote a word of it. I just channeled it, received it. If you open this book, when you receive it intuitively, it will give you the guidance you need for that day, that period of time. It's quite good to do guidance for a week when you open it. And it's got incredible knowledge and incredible wisdom. And it's not asking you to wait for anybody. It's telling you how to do it all yourself, right from, you know, scratch. Everything and why it's happening, how it all connects up, all the different parts of this, why the planet is ascending and where we're going, and from the higher beings, what they say is that we are evolving to a space, to a time of holy order, and the last chapter is called Holy Order. And Holy Order is where, when we raise up onto that fifth dimension, and there is a choice here. There is a choice for people who either choose to start doing the work to release the 3D, to release their attachment to the game, the blame, to the fact that other people are supposed to be doing it for them, to a religion to save them, for anybody to come and save them, release all of that and do the work. And then you will be able to play a part in the holy order that will come on a fifth dimensional level. So it has nothing to do with money. It has nothing to do with the banks clearing their mess up. I mean, the banks clearing their mess up is kind of a result of the energies coming in and it all being turfed over. Because as the new energies come in and you've got a huge mess of unconsciousness, what happens first is the new energies come in and turf it all around. So you get all the whistleblowers coming forward. You get all the people saying, oh, Jesus, I've done stuff in the past and I'm really ashamed of it now, but I want to let that go. I want to live a good life now. And that's really great, you know. But you get the mess first. You get all that being revealed. You get all the crap being revealed. You get a consciousness happening where people realize that the banks have been mucking with the system for years and have been taking the people's money. You know that the cabal are there now. You know that the political system is a complete fraud. You know that the health system is a complete fraud. They don't teach you good health. They just take your money, right? So in this mix, this is not the time to think this mix is the answer and just arresting those people. It's got nothing to do with it. What happens from this mix is the realization of who we really are. That's all it is. And then we're evolving to a completely different time. We're not going to be evolving to a time on this planet where the Earth stays the same and there is a good political system there. And then it's exactly the same 3D Earth. This is what most people believe, right? That you arrest the cabal, you get the finances, give everybody a little package of money, allow them to eat the garlic, eat the herbal cures, don't have to work so hard. They can all have a car, they can all have a lovely house, and they can all choose what they eat, and they can all watch the telly and have great entertainment. That's not the world we're moving to. That is not going to be in existence. The Earth is ascending to a fifth dimensional level. Nothing will ever be the same again. That's the truth of it. And I'm actually, from now on, I'm going to be talking about what I know to be the total truth. I'm not going to play in the halfway house line anymore. I'm intrigued by the situation out there. But what I know is I'm being pushed to give it as I have received it. And this is what I intend to do, is I've had this information for 20 years. I need to be staying as pure to that now as I can be. And I'll have anybody who wants to ring in and talk about this. I'm really up for discussion on this. Because it's good to hear what people are feeling, what people are thinking. But for me, I'm going more mainline, if you like, on my own mission right now. And I'm going to use the radio show for a platform for that. And that doesn't mean that we're not going to be talking about some of the stuff that's going on out there, because we will still. But we look at it as, this is what is going on. How can we sort that out? How can you play your part in sorting that out for you? Because we're actually, as you activate yourself, you will see it, but you will see it more in the distance. This is what's happening to, I would say, all people who are meditating, eating pure food, raising the level of their vibration and their energy and their discernment. You're looking at it, but it's kind of in the distance. And you don't actually attract it into your own quarters anymore either. And this is how it works. Right? So the more we're going to be doing that, we are going to be looking at what's going on out there, but we have to stay with the higher, finer points of how we can bring our resonance higher. And part of my thing that I've done recently, which is really, really having an effect on me, is I've changed over completely to distilled, pure, absolutely 100% pure virgin water, which is distilled water, which I'm making now with my own distiller. It's much cheaper to do that. You recoup your money, I think, you recoup your money by buying a distiller. I actually bought a second-hand one off eBay. And you recoup it in about 8 weeks. So in 2 months, you paid for your distiller as to what you would pay for the pure water to be given to you in a shop in 5-litre containers. But that has an incredible effect on you, because you're changing all the water in your whole system to not be of lower value with all those chemical vibrations in it. You know, most people, I'm sure, who listen to this show knows that water has a memory by now. This has certainly been a real big part of my mission in talking about that, because I was given the information so long ago, years before Masaru Emoto emerged with crystallizing the water crystals and showing you the difference between the intentions that were put into the water. So that's always been a thing of mine, but I'd not gone on to, I didn't progress to distilled water until recently. I certainly didn't drink tap water with all the memory of putrefaction and chemicals in it, and I was drinking spring water. But when you get into the real stuff, it starts to cleanse your body out. It starts to cleanse your whole system that you function on, because water is the wet substance in every wet liquid in your body. Your blood has a base of water. Everything. And now, when you put the distilled water in, you give it the opportunity to purify every wet system in your body. And we are a wet system. I see us now as much more water beings than earth beings. That's a crazy thing to say in some ways, but it's just how I resonate with it. You know, because every part of our body is full of water, because we're about, they say, 85% water. So if water has a memory and water is a communicating fluid that takes on the energy around it and the energy that you're bringing forth with your consciousness within that body, then that's an incredibly important part of us, isn't it? As we think, we are programming the water in our body. If you think of being ill, you will get ill. If you think of being incredibly well, you will be well. And the major part of that, you know, when people say to you, you know, oh, do these affirmations, put this intention out and it'll all work. It's kind of a bit mythical, isn't it? Until you understand that you're 85% water and water has a memory, which has been proven over and over. So it's not mythical at all. You with every thought, every feeling that you're resonating through the body, because as you feel, the energy from a feeling, the energy from an emotion is even more powerful. So you want to keep the emotions pretty, on a high level. Because a lot of people are far too emotional. But everything that's happening in your body that moves energy and emotion is energy in motion on a feeling. Right? So if you can just have feelings and accept that, then it's pure. If you have a feeling and then you start to emote, move energy on that feeling, then you're putting viruses in the system. Right? So the feeling is pure. Let it be. But every feeling, every thought, every word you speak is being programmed into the water in your body. And it's even more important as you purify the body. I actually think there's something working there where as you put the purer water in, it gives you a jump start, because it will only want and desire purity to it, because it's so totally and absolutely pure when it's distilled. So what it does is it's pushing you, and it's causing you, there's a causal factor with it almost, I feel. I'd love to have other people's feedback on what's happened to them since they've been drinking distilled water. But it's pulling you towards more and more purity. Okay, so it will attract you to eat different. It will attract you to keep your life on track, you know, on the highest way for you right now, because we're still all on the journey. Somebody in the chat room here is saying virgin water, our planet is almost all water and only a very small amount is pure and drinkable. And that's true, but you can make pure water. The weather system makes distilled water all the time with dew. I mean, if you could drink dew every day, you're drinking pure distilled water. If you could drink rain every day without the pollution in the atmosphere, that's distilled water. Okay, and then making your own with a distiller, which is from condensation. That's the whole thing, how it's distilling in this machine. It's a very simple machine. It's just hitting a stainless steel roof and container in the machine, and it's just condensating and coming out of a drip feed mechanism. That's all it is. The other incredible distilled water is your urine. And using that will heal everything that's going on in your body. So four types. I mean, every, you know, when I say rain, you could also say fog and mist, because it has the water in it. It'd just be hard to take that into your body, wouldn't it? But nature does it naturally, obviously. But your body, all the waters, you know, the urine in your water is distilled water. And, you know, something that we're not taught when we're looking at the basic anatomy of the body, and what you're taught as a child about your urine, most children are taught not to touch their urine, that it's poisonous, it's this, don't ever go near it, you know. And in fact, it's not. It's a pure healing drink. And Jeannie Santorini in the chat room is saying, would you drink nuclear contaminated rainwater? Well, no, that's why I have a distiller. But what I'm saying to you is rainwater is distilled water. The very fact that it's distilled water and it's in a polluted atmosphere, right, including radiation, when water is distilled and it's pure, juvenile, that I would call it juvenile virgin water, because it has a memory, it takes on everything immediately. Like when I'm boiling water in a kettle here in my house, I never leave even a remnant of water in the bottom of the kettle. It's a whole new discipline because I know that if I leave pure distilled water in the kettle after I've poured some into a herb tea and I've got some left in the kettle, that that water will take on from the metal inside that kettle and the elements. And if you leave it in a jug with the lid off, it'll take on anything that's in that room. Because distilled water is so thirsty for whatever it has around it. That's the nature of it. People do not understand yet the nature of water. And the nature of water is that it will take on what is around it, even in the atmosphere. So you never leave it. You know, I always have it in screw-top containers that are sealed. But I never even leave it in the kettle. The last bit I drain out, I put it in a mug, and I put a cover over it. And then I'll tip it back in the next time. But I make sure it's covered. So no, you're right. I would not drink rainwater. And certainly not in the area I live in, I would drink the rainwater. But if I was, you know, if I was stuck, I would drink the rainwater because, you know, it's really, really polluted in your tap because, you know, some people think rainwater is polluted by all the pollution in the air and radiation, all of that. Your tap water is polluted, highly, highly polluted because it's gone through, a lot of it is recycled and it's actually coming through recycled sewage water, which they say is perfectly okay because of all the decontamination. It's got all the memory of putrefaction. And that was the line in my manuscript that I received 20 years ago from the higher beings that changed my life. And that was way before this was out in the public. Because I realized that it was absolutely right. And then they started talking to me about how water was a communication fluid. And you see, it's taking on, it takes on the memory of everything. So it's not only taken on the memory of the putrefaction of the first system it was involved in, which sometimes is the sewage system, right? And all the chemicals that are in that through people's drugs in their body and all of that. And it doesn't get rid of that. None of those things that they say they clean the water up takes any of that memory out. That's why we have this really sick, in general, we have a really sick society. If they cleaned up and drank pure water, you'd have a completely different race of beings on this planet right now. Because once the water's changed in your system, it changes all your habits. Because it's attracting and it's asking for different things. If you've got polluted water in your system, then your water in your body asks for stuff on the same level and it's already polluted. So it's asking for more pollution. It doesn't discriminate. It can't. It's already been adulterated. This is a really, I mean, it's deep stuff, this, but it's on my network page at www.universallyaware.ning.com, there are pieces of channeling that I've done over the last 2 years. And if you look at those, you'll see one called The Memory of Water 2, or if you go to one of those links, and then go to the profile page, you'll be able to pick out the one called The Memory of Water Part 2. And that's an incredible piece that was channeled through about the power of this water. We just do not understand. And we are 85% water. This is taking it to a whole new level. We need to understand who we are and how we operate. And it's much more on a water level than it is a physical level. And that's to do with attraction, you know, stuff that you attract to you and how everything happens around you through the water in your body. Well, again, yeah, somebody's saying I have veggies growing in my garden. I wonder how organic my veggies are. Well, a lot of it is to do with the water, isn't it? And you know, even using a device, there are devices. See, when I was, I mean, this subject is so deep and so long, really, and I'm going to try and cover a little bit more of it here, because with the water, you can, you know, when the water goes through a normal system of decontamination to come out in our taps, doesn't matter what country it is, nobody is giving you the water that's been restructured, right? And that's what needs to happen. It can be cleansed and restructured to take out all the memory, but it needs a sort of vortex device, or there's all sorts of portable devices that you can use as well. But I have got friends who've got certain vortex devices, because going through the vortex changes the structure. And the vortex is such a powerful symbol for all of our lives and everything that happens in the world, and even, you know, the galactic energies and everything. But we won't go into that today. As something, I'm certainly not an expert on that, but I know the vortex is so much of it. And actually, we, in our way, are a vortex, and invite that energy in a sort of vortex way as well, in a vortex structure. But you need to, so if you're going to water your vegetables, go into biodynamics, because I know with biodynamics they use incredible stirring devices. If you were going to put rock dust, which they use a lot, which got incredible minerals in it, they use it homeopathically, and you put it into water and you stir it, and you stir it so many times, and as you're stirring it, you are sitting with that, and you're conscious with that stirring, and you're creating a vortex. And what I think you're doing there is you're actually restructuring the water. You change the memory. You can do this by blessing water. You're better to get rainwater and bless it than you are to drink tap water, aren't you? Or get your tap water and bless it. But you've got to be confident of your intent working, because it's about the resonance. It's not about the words you say. You can say, I bless and purify this water. And if it isn't coming from a resonance that actually is coming from your heart and powered by the energy from your heart, then you're not restructuring the water. Because all a blessing does, when it's done in the right way from the heart, the blessing restructures the water and takes out the old memory. That's actually how it works. So you could do that every day with your veggies. Okay, you could collect the water that isn't going directly onto the veggies, so you could give them a hit, a real boost, and stirring it with a certain vortex. But I'm pretty sure if you go into, I haven't done this for a while because I haven't had a garden for a while, but going into a bit more depth with biodynamics, and this is Steiner information, right? And Steiner, Rudolf Steiner, was into the galactic influence and how the higher energies of growing and us being, and vegetables being, you know, he was going into the subtle energies of this. So biodynamics is reflecting that. And there's all sorts of strange things that they do, but it's all to do with energetics and attraction and restructuring. Another great guy to look up here is, God, I'm forgetting his name now, Schauberger. And Schauberger, brilliant Austrian man who was around at the same time and conversed apparently with Rudolf Steiner. And he had incredible information, much like Tesla, but he was coming from the water point of view, and he certainly had energy devices going like Tesla. And I think all of them were in cahoots at one time. This is about in the 30s, 40s, I believe, you know, and then it all got mutilated by the Nazis. Both Tesla and Schauberger. Schauberger was, really affected by the Nazi infiltration that he had into his information, and they tried to take him over, as they did with Tesla, I believe, too. But
just thought I'd drop in for the last few seconds. Schauberger was taken over to the States.
He was, wasn't he? Yeah.
And then he was basically conned, ripped off, and all his stuff taken by the Americans, and who by that time were the Nazis.
Yeah,
the Nazis effectively took over America, was, yeah, as I understand.
And was it Tesla who he got involved with Morgan Stanley early on, didn't he?
Well, that's the point. Tesla was basically shafted.
Yeah, he was shafted as well.
Because that's why all that new that his free energy was taken away and locked away, and he was basically pushed out of the scene. And everything that Tesla did was accredited effectively to Marconi.
Absolutely.
Who was effectively working with the crash retrievals in the Black Forest in the EBEs discovered by the Germans in the Black Forest, and Marconi was dealing with that.
Yep.
And then they were used in the transgenic programs in the prisoner of war camps during World War II, where they're doing transhumanization tests pretty crudely, and that brings us up to the super soldier program we're doing now.
Yeah, it's all connected, isn't it, Miles? And it's all amazing. You know, if you put Schauberger with Tesla, and I mean, Tesla knew that we could have a new world when he discovered all this, and where his guidance come from, who knows? I know that Schauberger worked out in nature, and he
used the natural resonant implosion, with torsion field physics. It's just like a torsion field, a swirling natural sort of hyperspatial logarithmic type of science. In other words, a cold resonant type of science, not a bang, boom, boom type of science.
Yeah, and I mean, if you know, what I do know is, I know when I had a garden, I was, last time I had a lovely garden, I'm about to move to another place that has a garden, which is going to be wonderful, and I'll let you know as I develop this, but what I did was I asked for guidance from Schauberger on things I was doing in the garden, and I've got notes written, because it's easy. All you've got to do is ask. You know, you've got to be
still yourself.
Well, Mr. Bide, yourself.
John Bide has lectured on that. John, one of our other contributors, has done a great deal on Schauberger.
Yes, no, I know. John and I had the first conversations a few years ago, and John picked it up on it and then went on to research it even more. When I was at Billingford Mill growing my organic herbs, I was very involved with Schauberger and actually asking for guidance, and John will tell you that we had conversations about it there, and he thought, oh my God, I've got to find out more about this. And he has gone on a circuit to, you know, he goes out there and now lectures on it, and it's great that he's putting the information out there, because he loved it. He did what I did, was we grabbed at it. I thought, oh my God, this information is incredible. I mean, Schauberger actually sat watching things happen in nature and saw how did the salmon go upstream? How could they fight against that stream, you know? And he knew it was all to do with, like, energy, vortexes of energy. And it was how warm the water was. This is another thing, that different things happen in cold water than happen in warm water. It's very strange that all the information about water is incredible.
Yeah, and I mean, for instance, hot water and cold water never actually mix.
Yeah.
They continue separately. It's just we take it as because it as mixing.
And I mean, if you put Tesla, if you think now we have access to this knowledge, because that information is in the information streams that are still out there, right? They're like streams of energy. And I know that I linked in and got incredible little snippets of information from Schauberger. And it was incredible to do. It's just that I then moved on from there and didn't have a garden for a while, just circumstances. So I didn't link in anymore. But just think about this. Anybody can link in to the energies of Tesla, the energies of Schauberger. They're two of our heroes, you know. And guys who were both shafted, they needed to shut them up, didn't they? And they did. Now, if there had been enough enlightened people about it at the time, that would never have been allowed, would it?
Well, that's the point.
It was how it was.
The greatest single attack is on enlightened people.
Mm.
You know, and this is this.
But
is
we know a lot more how to protect ourselves now, Miles. We just have to keep getting lighter and lighter. We just have to keep getting more and more involved.
If you knew the kind of things going on in England and the kind of detailed network there is to stop that happening, you need a bit more than love and light to deal with that.
No, I know for a fact that it works. See, now I'm going to really, you know, here, we've got to keep this real, because it's true, Miles. There's a lot of people who get attacked and get things happen to them, and they do no disciplines at all. I've had people come to me, and what you've got to teach them is you've got to teach them we can outcraft anything that's laid on us like that. you know, incredible things happen. Like something's been set up to kind of sabotage you, right? And what happens is that morning you get up, you've done your disciplines, you're highly connected to your higher self, and your higher self tells you to go in a different direction. And the sabotage is set up on a planned route that they thought you were taking. That's how it works. It's simple. But it has, you cannot resonate with that unless you raise your energy up. And I've seen, you know, I've seen that effect, incredible stuff. And I think anybody, if you've got in Miles, if you've got people who are having stuff happen to them, you've got to teach them to raise their energy up higher, because we can outsmart anything like that. And I'm serious about that. I know it works. And you do have to keep, you've got to keep your energy high.
I mean, I agree. You've got to swim up. You've got to swim properly upstream, metaphorically.
You have, yeah, you have, and you
it's
will
where
be
you
the
place
one.
Yourself in that stream, which gives you trouble.
It is, and I mean, you will not even know that you're outsmarting anything, because you don't even need to know what might have happened to you. That's how incredible it is. But you will sometimes realize that what's just happened is you've just been over to walk around something that would have involved you but hasn't, because you were 5 minutes early. Do you see what I'm saying? That you got the feeling that morning not to leave at the time you said you were going to leave. There's that. It's simple little things that happen, but a lot of people's heads are too full of the mind just talking to them, and the mind wants to keep them in a pattern, because the matrix is a pattern, a structure, right?
Yeah.
So if you stick to that, then you won't go by the thing that says, do not take your car today, go by train. And there's a lot of people that won't go by that. They'd think, oh, what? I can't, that's a crazy thought. I'm not going to do that. That's what I'm talking about, and it's real.
It's been fascinating. We're working very hard here to get things on a positive, higher level of consciousness, and I think that, unfortunately, the interview that I mentioned earlier, it's one of the most awful ones, but I do feel that we do need to know where the ground is and what to do about it.
Well, I agree with you, and this is why we've always covered it. Which one was that, Miles? Which was the one you say is dreadful?
It isn't,
Right.
I've also got to do the one with Ava Zamenhof.
Yeah.
About the ancients and her discussion. That's a big interview. That's a lot of effort. Unfortunately, she insisted that I appeared on camera, and I ended up sitting on the wrong side of the bloody seat. From the first hour, the camera angle is a complete disaster.
Oh dear.
So I'm sitting on the wrong side, looking in the wrong direction, and she's looking in the right direction in the wrong place.
Oh no! And is
so it's like
one,
two people.
The young girl who was had very bad sound that you couldn't hear on Kerry Castle.
Yes, that one. That's
I
exactly
remember
her.
That one. I really wanted to listen to it, but I had
to
turn it.
I was so full of myself. Of course, I'll do it properly because I'm technical and I know what I'm doing. So then I immediately realized I'll be the first idiot to completely screw it up. So I managed. I used two microphones on her instead of one.
Wow. And you can hear her. You can actually hear her.
You
that's
can still
the
hear her, but she's still got a fairly high-pitched, squeaky voice. She eats practically nothing. She's as thin as a rake. She's actually quite an attractive girl if she actually put some weight on and ate something and stood up straight.
Yeah.
But
wow.
She is fairly convincing that she is not human. She is actually, you know, extraterrestrial.
Yeah.
And well, one of the higher beings.
That's not the terrible one you're talking about, is it?
Yeah.
Is it? Oh, what? Her story is terrible.
Her story? No. Her story is wonderful and brilliant about the ancients and the creation of humanity on Earth. The one is about what's going on here in England. Like, the English Civil War is still alive and well in England.
Right. So this is like on different dimensional levels. Miles, we've only got a minute left. What's your, it's megawatts?
It's megawatts 1066, and that's where you get the long, full versions of all the Amash interviews. The Amash project's now moving on. We've done a fourth report. We've done a major live show from Bodnam Manor in Hereford. And the first part of that is up on megawatts 1066. It's an hour long with eight people talking in the sunshine.
Right. Okay.
Part
so
two
of
that will
really
be up next week, probably.
And if they keep following your channel, you know, perhaps follow it. That's good because then they'll get updates, won't they? That's the best way to do it.
We've done Basis 15 with Anya Briggs. That was a brilliant interview. She really, really, we resonated really well. And her, she did very, really well on that. And Aaron McCollum, she says, is real. That was a major factor in that.
Okay. Well, that'll be interesting to see then. I'm going to play us out with that song again, which is very upbeat. And this is about moving your body. Come on, everybody. Let's have everybody up and let that energy move through your body. That's a start. You know, a lot of people are very cramped up physically. Namaste. Thank you for listening. Bye for now.
Goodbye.
Bye, Miles. Sweat Your Prayers here from Gabrielle Roth and the... Mirrors, I think it's good.